Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I went up, I learned, I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. I'ma win, it's a turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russ and Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Mike Kashuba, and I unfortunately have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 294 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we will. It's been a week. Like, I don't usually watch football on week 14, like the week leading into the fantasy playoffs. I can't. If you're listening to this, if you've listened for more than like 2 weeks, I've brought up my anxiety about the world in general. But when it gets like very, very specific, like the scores are going to be the scores, whether I'm watching or not. I went and I had a nice day with my family. We went out, we got some Chinese food for lunch, came home. We did some art with my daughter. We watched Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken, really cute movie. Just had a good day, nice day, and watched zero football, and then saw how bad it got. Like, I knew I didn't want to watch because it was more of like a I don't want to see if I win or lose thing. I'm glad I didn't watch because I didn't want to see everyone get hurt again. Like, oh man, like
what else is new?
I don't know. Like, see, at least with certain things, there's things you can blame. You can blame the turf in MetLife Stadium. Like, that is a soft tissue destroyer. But, like, the index finger on your throwing hand, a ridiculous late hit on a quarterback to give him a concussion. Like, there was just stuff going on. That's just, like, quarterbacks throwing their wide receivers into traffic and getting destroyed, then rightfully getting benched after that. But we'll talk about that a little bit. It's been a week, but it's playoffs. And I know we're not going to argue, but like now is probably your trade deadlines. If you have them, you should get rid of your trade deadlines in Dynasty Fantasy Football. Just saying. But yep. Again, not what we're here for. Before we do get what we're here for, hey, Mike, how's it going?
Hey. Oh, just fantastic. Excited to be on the show. Have a good time. Talk some ball.
Why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
For sure. So you can find me on X or Twitter at FFMikeCash with a K. I'm the co-host of the Fantasy Football RPG podcast. If you see the one with the dragons all over it, that's us. I'm an editor over at Last Word on Pro Football. So if you're looking for written content, you can find me over there. And right now I'm here. So that's me.
So RPG, dragons, editing. So you're a nerd.
1,000%. I played my first game of Dungeons and Dragons last weekend. It was electric.
It's
first time.
What took you so long? I was playing in elementary school. Come on, man.
I was playing football and doing other things, and then somebody was like, hey, let's do this. And I was like, is it like Baldur's Gate?
Kinda. I mean, that's not wrong.
Yeah.
Well, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
Yeah, so I've been playing fantasy football like 17, 18 years now. So long time for being a 27-year-old. And then I was playing Dynasty for about 3 years now. It's one of those things, you know, got the itch a little after COVID, you know, locked up for so long, tired of reading the same 4 mock drafts in the offseason, and decided to get in.
Yeah, I love the – it's always, why'd you get into Dynasty? It wasn't enough. Redraft just wasn't enough. Yep. I didn't want it to stop. I wanted to keep going. I was like, yeah, that's what we're here for. Yep. We're here to keep going.
Just got the itch.
Yep.
Just needed to draft some teams.
And then you join 36 leagues and you're like, all right, wait, maybe that was too many. You drop down to 15. Wait, that's not enough. Let me get back up to 20 something. And you're like, all right. And then maybe you start dropping little by little until you find that sweet spot. Except for Rocky. I think you're still in like 40 something, right?
38. Yes.
Waivers must be tough.
Waivers are ignored. Yeah. Except in that league where I need Easton Stick and Nick Mullen.
Yeah. Oh, I it will be a cold day in hell the day I remember to do waivers on a dynasty team. Like I just never do.
Most
and
of
it's
my
the
leagues.
Best thing that SFB does their waivers in the afternoon because I'll see people talking about their waivers on Twitter and I'm like, oh crap, I have a team I might need to do something with.
Yep. I'm so glad I got all these players and it's like, wait a minute. I'm forgetting something.
The good thing is most of my leagues are about 30 players deep, so there's like nothing to get on waivers anyway. Yeah. I'm not missing anything.
Fair.
All right, so yeah, answered my second question in the first answer, so let's move on. What are some of the best and worst trades you've made in Dynasty?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about one of the first ones that I made. It was one of my worst trades. I took over a orphan, and I was tired of Russell Wilson. DK Metcalf and Hunter Renfrow had just finished around the same in fantasy. So I was like, they're about the same tier. So I traded Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf for Trey Lance and Hunter Renfrow. So
yikes. At the that time, that seemed great, though. Like
I felt super smart.
Yeah.
Well, I also got a two on top that turned into Damian Pierce that I then flipped for a first. So I learned from my ways. But
we don't talk about Trey Lance around here anymore.
We don't talk about Trey Lance around here. we'll see. There's two good things that came of that. You got your worst out early and out of the way.
Yep.
But also, you quickly learned the lesson. The only way to fix a bad trade is to make another trade. See?
Yeah.
You learn and you go. But let's move on. You've learned. Mm-hmm. You've gone. Yep. What was a good trade you made?
Another orphan. It was an abomination. We're talking ancient running backs. No wide receivers. The starting quarterback was Tannehill this last year, and there was no second quarterback in a super flex. And I didn't have any of the future firsts on it, so I went ahead and traded Treylon Burks before this season to go get my own 24-1 before blowing it all up. And then now that 24-1 is the 101. So Treylon Burks for Caleb Williams.
So the person you did that trade with clearly doesn't listen to our show because, oh man, do I preach the you need to pay a get your first back tax? And
yes.
I love Treylon Burks. I was very into Treylon Burks at the beginning of the season also. But even still, man, no. No.
Projections at the time, it didn't look like it was going to be an early first, but you saw the writing on the wall.
Why is someone going to trade for their first unless they plan on making it a good pick? Like Rocky's not going to go and trade for one of his first because all of his teams are going to win championships this year, right, Rock?
Obviously.
All 38 of them.
Yeah. See, that's except that we get to Russ's question about how many of them actually made the playoffs, but
we'll get to that. What is a guiding principle you take with you, whether you're offering or evaluating a trade?
Yeah. My first rule, and this is my rule, not just in fantasy, but in life, it's just be a good dude. So if I'm looking to send a trade offer, I really want the other person to receive it well. Like if you're the guy that is constantly being like, hey, here's two 24 fourths, give me, you know, Javonte Williams, they're not going to respond to you in the future. So if you just continue to send good offers, it might not always get the deal done, but you'll get a response that says, not good enough. Thanks, man. And that means you're building a relationship. And then over time, trades get easier because you have an open dialogue with that person.
See, I love this because it's the constant argument between me and John Bosch, where it's like, I love trade talks and I'm too honest for my own good. I absolutely am. Like I will ask anything I'm asked, I will answer. But John's like, why would you give them information? Information is power. Like, dude, you want to get trades done, right? He's like, well, if they come to me and they're good. And I'm like, but if you have three parts of a conversation back and forth, you can get to that being good.
Yeah. I'm in leagues with my co-hosts and like, we run a little like RPG nation. There's a couple of leagues there and like, there's guys that I'll talk to them or they'll see me on the show and they're like, hey, I saw you had this guy ranked higher than this guy. I have that guy ranked higher than that guy. You just want to flip him? And we'll talk about like values, and sometimes you get a plus added on top. But for the most part, it's if you're clear and honest, then you get clear and honest answers.
See, that's what I'm missing out on. My honesty usually leads me to people overcharging me for pleasure.
Yeah, yep, that happens too.
But that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is the end of our little interviewee thing.
Cool.
We have news. Again,
don't like it.
We know this is not going in a great direction, but we'll read it all and then we'll talk if there's any dynasty impact on any of it. Usually there isn't. So Justin Jefferson has a rib/chest injury day to day and might play versus the Bengals. Now, like this past week, I was screaming to just let Trevor Lawrence sit a week, but he seemed fine. So I'm not going to play doctor anymore. If he's ready to play, let the man play. And at least it's not Josh Dobbs throwing the ball anymore. Which, man, how did that go so south so fast?
I know. Yeah, you were convinced he's going to be a starter next year. He's not even a starter this week.
He played so far this. And look, he's not great. He wasn't going to go steal someone's job or anything. Like, he wasn't going to – no one's going to build a franchise around him. But he seemed like he was a great bridge. And that bridge got burned.
Yes. 3-0.
Maybe he can only play with blissful ignorance. Like, the more he learns about the playbook, the more he overthinks it. He just needs to go out there and play ball.
Like, someone made that joke. Like, he's just so smart, so when he actually learns it, he gets bored. Yep. But when he's just out there making it up as he goes along, he's great.
Yeah.
Which absolutely seems to be the case. As I said before, Justin Herbert fractured the index finger on his throwing arm, on his throwing hand. I didn't see this, but Frank told me he's going on IR, which I guess makes sense. Like, if you break a finger on your throwing hand, you're probably out for a couple of weeks, and it doesn't look like they're making the playoffs. But they are in fantastic position at this point. Like, right now – oh, hold on. Let me refresh this. I don't think I did today. They're 5-8. They have the 10th pick overall, and this is, like, a super heavy wide receiver draft. Like, they can walk out of pick 10 with, like, Brock Bowers or Malik Nabers, because let's face it, Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably not making it to 10. Mm-hmm. Like, give Quentin Johnston another year to to adjust to the league. I'm not going to give up on it. And Keenan Allen's going to be awesome until he decides he doesn't want to play anymore. Like, that could be super helpful to that offense, and it's actually going to be, you know, super helpful that he won't – that Justin Herbert won't be there. Because, you know, it's like the Seahawks a couple of years ago. They were terrible, but Russell Wilson was good enough for 6 wins on his own. Mm-hmm. Like, Justin Herbert's going to win you a couple of games because he's Justin Herbert. Not to mention you have Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler and a decent defense. So hopefully they take Tankett out a little bit and they could really make their offense better. What else do we got? Stroud has a concussion. I alluded to that before as well.
Yep.
Hopefully he just gets back. And I haven't seen anything about it since, but hopefully he just gets back. I didn't see anything about Nico Collins' calf injury, but I do have my Trade Addicts 2 team where I started Justin Jefferson and Nico Collins, and suffice to say, I lost this week. Dan Campbell says he needs to find more ways to get Jameson included in the offense, which I guess is good to hear for Jameson Williams. Like, it's true. If he's going to be a thing, he needs to be involved, and he's not. I would love to see him at this point, I don't think I have any shares left. And I'm always willing to pay the wait and see tax anyway. So I'm always up for players being good in the NFL because good players lead to good football. Good football leads to entertainment. So cool. Josh Jacobs' knee injury. Josina Anderson said Raiders aren't adding a running back. So that seems like it's okay. But on a short week this week. So we might have week one of the playoffs without Josh Jacobs.
Is this a Zamir White thing?
Avoid the running backs of the Raiders thing.
Yeah, I think that's more that thing.
Hashtag fear Amir, baby. It's Amir Abdullah time.
Yeah. Fear Zamir.
Oh, man.
Such a fan of him. And then we also talked about it before. Nick Mullins is starting for the Vikings because, do you think there's any of this that has any actual dynasty impact anywhere?
Dynasty? No. Playoffs, yes.
All right. Did either of you see anything about Nico and his injury? Like, is he going to miss games? Has anyone seen anything?
Once you said that, I Googled it. It hasn't even been referenced since the game. They just said questionable to return, and then I guess he never did. And then
he didn't go back. No.
I guess it's well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see practice reports, but there's nothing reported yet. Worst. I know.
Yeah. Like, I don't like, again, it's the amount of injuries sucked. Thankfully, most of them seemed short term, except for Herbert. And again, like, are you, you're not discounting Justin Herbert for missing six games in, as a 26-year-old stud quarterback. So, like, I don't think that has any real impact. Are you? So Easton Stick is out there on waiver wires. Like if you're a playoff team, are you going to go spend your fab on Easton Stick, or are you going to go find and send a second, send maybe your first to go get a quarterback instead? Like, Rocky, you're Mr. Cheap Quarterback when it's worth it. Is this one worth it?
Who are the Chargers playing this week? I didn't even look. I might try on Easton Stick. I have no idea if he's any good or not, but he's got Keenan Allen.
On a short week.
He's got Keenan Allen. He's got Austin Eckler.
The Raiders.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what are you getting? Like, if I can get, like, if I can get Stafford for a second, maybe I do that.
Yeah, especially now where there's teams that their hopes are dashed. You know, like, maybe they thought they were making the playoffs and now they're not.
Yeah, they're like the 106 team and they have Stafford on the roster. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that seems to be the much more.
Yeah, I would rather do that over Easton. And I think that is a guy you could get for a second and could still give you decent enough production. I don't know if there's that many guys that I'd be interested in, though, but he's the one that popped immediately into my head.
I think quarterback's weird right now if you're trying to go trade for someone for a playoff push, because they're either still young and good and you're excited about them.
Right.
Or they're so gross that you don't want to buy them. Like, would you send a two for Baker Mayfield right now and hope for it?
I'd rather try Easton Stick.
Derek Carr.
Would you send? Yeah. I'm not buying Derek Carr.
Yeah. Stafford might be the only guy. That might have been the one guy.
Like, go get a guy like Derek Carr or like Matt Stafford. And it's like,
get on the list. Russ Wilson might be on a lot of playoff teams, though.
Yeah. That's fair. But, like, it's really funny. Like, there's two ways to think about it. You can say, let's pretend no matter what you do, you lose. Which would you rather go down with the mindset of, well, what could I have done? Herbert got hurt and I had Easton Stick. That's all I could have done. Or you make the trade. It's like, well, what did I expect? I had to go get Derek Carr. You know, like, what kind of mindset do you want to lose with? And of course, you hope you win anyway, despite this. But, like, that's really what it always comes down to with me. What am I going to hate myself more for? That's a really unhealthy way, but that's how I make decisions.
That's how I make all my start set decisions, too.
Oh, I close my eyes and click buttons. I know I'm terrible at it, so I just don't even bother trying.
Or if you're like me and you still have at least one guy, you just roll one quarterback out and stick a player in there.
Yeah, assuming you are Mr. Rocky and I'm good at fantasy football and I put good teams together and stuff like that.
Can't relate.
Yeah, don't get it. Don't know. Oh, but I forgot what team that was. There was one of the, it was like four or five. I can't remember which Trade Addicts League it was. And Rocky was vying for a playoff spot. And I was looking through the players that he needed to score still. And there were like Calvin Ridley. Like, it was like every player that I like. And I feel like.
Yeah. I can't remember what league it was.
It was just so funny.
It was like Ridley, Higgins, a couple other guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So I might just steal that from your roster at the end of the season. but yeah, that's all the news. Because again, most news, especially around now, this late in the season, doesn't really affect dynasty values. But it's still a fantasy football show, so I guess we're supposed to talk about it. But now the good stuff. Mike, why don't you choose? What do you want to do first? Do you want to do Trade Addicts trades or listener questions?
Let's do some of these trade addict trades look very interesting, and I would love to talk about them.
Yes, and this was I was surprised that we didn't get – I tried so hard to make a bunch of trades yesterday, and I knew it wasn't going to happen because no one's really – like, most leagues still have one or two spots up for grabs or some seeding that needs to take place. But I was really hoping today we would see that flurry, and no, nothing. Rocky doesn't make trades, Tyler. Like,
I don't make trades with Tyler because he always wants too much.
Yeah, Tyler. If you have a fourth or a fifth, he'll take them from you. But if not, Well, first of all, Tyler put together a team of insanely good, very young players, and that's what he values. So it's really tough to get them off of him, especially when you're a team like me, who's mostly built around old players. Like, I have a Rocky team in TA8, where I only have one young player, and it's like, I'm screwed if I let that go. But not the point. All right, so Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for TA1. And we do have a Trade Addicts 1 trade today. And I love it for the pure reason that Parker Washington is involved. Let's go Penn State pass catchers, baby. So Deontay Johnson for Parker Washington in a 24-second. Rock, you're the Deontay Johnson guy.
Yeah,
Deontay Johnson for a second is pretty spot on, right?
I'm not moving Deontay for a second still. I know Pickett has not been good, but I just think he's too talented to move for a second. And yeah, like you said, Parker Washington doesn't mean anything. And
well, he will this past two games. He with Kirk out, he's been killing it.
Yeah, I know. But I'm not putting a lot of stock in that right now.
You should. You're wrong. How about that?
But yeah, I mean, you know me. I'm a Deontay guy. I mean, I guess that's his value. It would have to be a really early second for me to even think about it. But I would rather have Deontay. He's still going to be a target monster. Maybe I think we talked about this last week. Maybe they replace Pickett sometime in the near future. I know we think it might be unlikely because Pittsburgh's not a big free agency team, but Pickett's been pretty crappy. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how long they do ride that. I just think Deontay Johnson's too good to move for just a second. I know he's not producing a ton, but I'd rather have Deontay Johnson than a second. He's not that old yet either. What is he, 27, 28?
Yeah, that's ancient.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also known as a right around a receiver's prime, but yes.
What about you, Mike?
I'm pretty firmly on the Deontay side here. I just pulled up the 2023, estimated rankings for the rookies from last year. I think there's only one or two names in the second round and later that you would take for Deontay Johnson. So we left to be like, oh, I'm going to draft better. I'm going to find the Sam Laporta. But you're probably going to find the Tank Bigsby. Like, you're probably going to find the Jalen Hyatt. So I would rather have the guy that I've seen do it on a football field and crush it.
And even if you trade the second, I don't think you're getting much better than Deontay Johnson.
So here's the thing with me. Like, let's pretend you're not a Deontay guy. And, like, Deontay's good. But like you said, he's in a really bad situation. By the time he moves on, or Pickett moves on, or what? But by the time his situation changes, like, that's a much easier way to say it. Yeah. He'll be 29 or 30, and his value will be less than a second, even if he is scoring, because he'll be old. Like, I looked at this, and I'm like, I didn't look to see where the second was, and that was pure laziness on my point part. But, like, you're swapping out Deontay Johnson for Parker Washington. And again, Parker Washington has next to zero dynasty value. But the thing is, he's averaging the last two games, he's averaging over 16 points per game. Deontay Johnson at 14 points per game. So, like, again, let's just pretend rest of this season, you're going to get insanely similar points. And if you're not a Deontay Johnson guy, he's probably worth an early second anyway, in which case you probably got your value and you might get your points. Like, it's a risky move. I really, it's a very risky move, but I think that could be what are the kids called? A big brain move? Like, that's what they called it 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. And to me, that's all it really takes, right? You know, if it's a fun idea, just go for it. And I think that's really what that is. Like, you're probably looking at like 12 to 16 points for every game for the rest of the season out of both of these guys. And you're getting a second on top. And if you don't like Deontay, all right, you got him off your roster.
You're making a bigger leap than me that Parker Washington's going to continue to do it for the rest of the season.
I wanted to say that too.
Yeah.
what's the points are the same, but what about like the targets?
He had three targets this past week.
Deontay had seven.
Yeah. He did have a touchdown though.
Two for 27 and one, baby. But also, like, how bad were the Jaguars for three quarters of that game this week? Mm-hmm. which, man, how did they pull off that many points? Like, just Trevor Lawrence is just so good.
It's filthy.
Yeah, love it.
By the way, do you want to hear the trade that Tyler wants me to accept here?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, let's cover it here. I'd love to talk about Tyler.
Okay. This is TA8, where I got the sixth seed as the most points after the, you know.
How embarrassing for you.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, I was 6-8. But anyway, Jalen Warren, he's going to send me, and this is, I love this, basically for a 25-second, but also a 25-fourth, $197 blind bid dollars, and Ryan Tannehill.
What? I love that. It was just like pressing a lot of buttons. I think it was TA8 where I think it was the Rocky had the biggest sixth seed jump. Like most of the leagues, it's actually more than normal. Most of the way that Trade Addicts leagues do playoff spots are it's the first five in the roster in the standings, and then the sixth seed is by most points of the other teams not already in. A lot of the leagues, the sixth seed made it in. Rocky was eighth or ninth in the standings.
Yeah, 6-8, 8th place in record, 4th in points. Yeah, somehow I finished 6-8.
Yeah, that would save me in a league. I'm 3rd in points and 10th in the standings.
Yeah, like, and it's God. Part of me hates just that it dominated. Just turned out to be the top six teams, but also, like, if anything, that helps the argument that it is good to do points because most of the times it doesn't really screw with anything, but sometimes it puts better teams in the
Tyler, playoff. I didn't even realize this, Tyler, but I have a 700 all play percentage and I'm 6-8.
Yeah, exactly. That's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
All right. So we have back to back Alvin Kamara trades. And I want
Wait, you to tell me if I should take that, right? 25 second, basically.
Are you getting Jalen Warren or are you?
Yes.
Yeah, why not? Jalen Warren for a 25-second?
Unless you value any of those other pieces at all.
I mean, Ryan Tannehill might bridge somewhere, but...
Yeah, Tyler's been nice to me. Accept the trade.
Tyler, you're getting your trade.
Woo! Rocky, that was so stupid. I can't believe you accepted that.
Terrible trade. I just heard Ryan Tannehill's going to the Saints. Him and Derek Carr and Jameis Winston are going to have the worst quarterback matchup in history.
And what the Saints are going to do is, since Ryan Tannehill was a college wide receiver, they're not going to have a set quarterback. It's just going to go back and forth between Tannehill and Hill.
Perfect.
Tannehill. I want that to happen. Tannehill. Yeah. Oh, God, please don't let that happen. All right. So there's like a parade going on upstairs where my kids are supposed to be in bed. So the first one is Trade Addict 6, where Alvin Kamara was traded for Jameson Williams in a 25-second. Is Jameson Williams worth a first for either of you?
No,
I can't. And I loved him pre-draft, but I can't.
So did I.
Just making sure. In which case, like, to me, like, Kamara, if you're lucky, a late first. If not, it should be like 2 seconds, you know, that kind of thing. And that's kind of what this is. It's like Jameson Williams is practically an early 24-second, and then there's a 25-second involved. Which I would easily pay for Kamara to go and make your playoff push. I mean, will you feel silly if for the rest of the season they get Jameson Williams involved and all of a sudden he becomes, like, look, he's not going to push to be a top 20 wide receiver or anything, but like if he becomes a solid low end two with spike weeks, like you'd be like, man,
maybe he could just be Lions Gabe Davis and that would be a win.
Yeah. So like, yeah, I'm pretty down with this trade. Again, this is beautiful rebuild. Well, not even rebuild because. Who knows what the team is, but it's like playoff for non-playoff team. Like, perfect trade. Everybody's
nodding. I'm with you. Yeah, nothing really to add there. You're exactly what you said.
All right, next trade for Trade Addicts 7. Again, Alvin Kamara for Zach Charbonnet and a 25-third.
I wish it was a second. I think Charbonnet's value has dropped after we've seen the splits between him and Kenneth Walker. Like, it's not what we wanted it to be. He's, you know, a flexy option, gives you a little flex with the bonus.
I'm pretty much with Mike. I do like Charbonnet. I like the lock coming out. The situation's horrible though. And not likely to change for a couple years, barring, I don't want to even say it, you know, barring Kenneth Walker being out for a significant period of time or something. And even then, like you said, we haven't seen a ton from Charbonnet in the little bit of time Walker's missed this year. So, yeah, I would give that up to make my playoff push. Alvin Kamara has been pretty great. Even his, like, even when he's not good, his floor is like 12 points or something like that. So, yeah. And then he can pop off for like a 20 spot, you know, with the receptions and a touchdown or something like that. So I would definitely make that move. I think it's pretty fair, actually. I would love it to be a second too, but I don't think it's too far off.
My more likely scenario for the Seahawks, by the way, first of all, I'm still angry at the Seahawks for taking Charbonnet and JSN. Like, you could have ruined one of them. Why'd you have to ruin both of them?
Real quick, if you want to get your Pete Carroll ruined my fantasy team t-shirt, we have one in our merch shop.
I might have to go do that. Yeah,
I can send it to you.
But like I was going to say, like, more likely what I would need to happen is, like, if Pete Carroll is gone and you get an actual offensive-minded person in there, you could use both of those running backs very well together. You know, like a more creative person would do something so much better with the two of them in the backfield than just give both of them six carries and throw two passes to neither of them. Like, it's but this one was me. I traded away Charbonnet in the 25-3rd and got Kamara to a different Tyler who hilariously didn't realize he made the playoffs. So that worked out well for me.
He just literally weakened another playoff team by accident.
He came to, like, you know, he said, oh, these guys are on the block. So I was just like, okay. So I sent Charbonnet for Kamara. I think I just sent it straight up, hoping to get lucky. Like, I didn't think that was one of those, like, it's not going to get accepted, but, you know, maybe it will. And it did not. And then he tried Charbonnet in a second for Kamara in a third. I'm like, nope. Nope. So he's like, all right, you have a 25-3rd. Just throw that in. And I'm like, yep.
Deal.
I like Charbonnet. I really do. I like the player. And, like, if Kenneth Walker weren't there, he would be a good Seahawks running back. Like, Charbonnet in the backfield would be a good Seahawks running back. But it's a mess. That offense is a mess. And man, where are they in the – like, they're – where's Seattle? 13th, which is unfortunately too early – like, too much in the middle to get a starting quarterback that they want. Like, if they, like, magically make the playoffs and get to, like, maybe they grab, like, Penix from Washington because it's Washington and Washington, and, like, he's exciting and all of that stuff. But, like, Geno turned back into Geno, and it was, except for the one game against the Cowboys, who have had a good defense.
Yeah. I'm sure they're going to draft another running back in the second round and just keep piling them on. Just Travion Henderson in the second.
The one thing they did not do, which I was just the most Seahawks thing ever. Like, I swore they were going to take AJ Dillon in the first, because that is, like, the most Seahawks running back ever. And they did not, thankfully. Well, I guess it wouldn't. Their running back situation is no better. So the last trade we have is Sky Moore and a 24 non-playoff second for Joe Mixon. And while this isn't necessarily a big deal play, you know, Mixon's, I mean, he did pretty well this week, but, like, his fantasy value even took a hit with Burrow out. But if you have Mixon on a team that's no longer in the playoffs, are you willing to settle for a non-playoff second and the complete dart throw of a wide receiver? Or do you think that Mixon should still be worth more? I see you nodding, Mike, so go for it.
I don't think Mixon's value is ever going to get higher. Like, we, as a dynasty community, a running back turns 27 and we just throw them out the window. And I think, is he already 27 or is he about to turn 27?
I believe he's 26. Hold on, let me control F. Oh, he is 27. His birthday was in July. So preseason, yeah, 27.
That stinks. He's dead to us now. But
yep. It was fun while it lasted, buddy.
I think that the Bengals are a team that they're just looking for weapons. And, like, while the running back class isn't good, like, even Chase Brown looked pretty good compared to Joe Mixon.
He had a better game than I thought. I knew he had a good game last week because of a couple of touchdowns, but he had the last 3 weeks, so 12, 13, 14 points per game. He's the RB7.
Yeah. He's what, RB3 and 5 the last 2 weeks?
Crushing it. 8 points, 30 points, 21 points. Like, he's doing better than I thought he would.
Which is why I might want a little bit more for him. I have a couple non-playoff teams with Joe Mixon. I don't think I would sell him for that. But I mean, I would do it for a high second in Sky Moore.
Yeah, early second, I would jump on it, especially if like it's always a little bit of a tough thing when you just miss the playoffs, because in leagues like the Trade Addicts leagues, we have the toilet bowl where the winner gets the 113, they get the pick at the end of the first round. So like, there's that fine line of, do I try for that to get that pick, or do I just take the early second now? But again, this is a late second anyway.
Yeah. I think would go compete. Like, I would keep mixing and go try and win the toilet bowl.
I think that's like the line for me on this one. If it was an early second, I would probably take it anyway, because it's probably the most you'll get at this point. And once we hit non-point scoring season, the 27-year-old running back is going to be worth less than a second, regardless of, like, unless they're Christian McCaffrey. Otherwise, trash. You know, so, but yeah, not... Yeah, no. All right, so listener questions. The first one, at Messy Messick, what is your preferred way to seed the teams that did not make the playoffs? Max points for, normal points for, record, etc. Mike, why don't you go first? So you said you have your RPG leagues. What do you use?
We use max point four in all of our leagues, and it prevents people from doing weird things with their lineups. It prevents people from intentionally tanking. Like, if you're going to intentionally tank, you need to make trades. So it incentivizes activity in the league. So I think max points four is the way to go.
Rock, you use potential points in yours, right?
Yes, potential points. We famously had this discussion before us.
I've grown to care less about it. The reason I'm against potential points is really, honestly, just because I don't care that much about people losing on purpose. Like, if you have people that are, how to put this nicely, less talented when it comes to fantasy football, they will make a lot of very bad trades to unload things off their teams, and nothing ever breaks a league. Like, no trades, nothing happens that can just completely destroy a league. And if something's going to destroy a league, it's going to be something legit, like what J. Mike did to TA6. It's not going to be someone doing something stupid. We don't know how J. Mike got that good. He may have stolen the commissioner password and just like executed all these trades, because he's that sneaky. He's that kind of guy. No one wants to believe it, but that's who he is. No, he's not. He's wonderful. We use opposite record, because again, I don't care enough to stop people from losing. Like, I want people to be able to go for the 101 if they want to. You know, it's in my bylaws that you have to start a reasonable lineup. That's literally my anti-tanking law. You have to start a reasonable lineup.
And that's why I like potential points, though. It gives you no reason not to start your best lineup. There's literally zero reason, because you're not helping yourself by sitting anyone. Yeah, because you're still getting those points anyway.
Have a question with the reasonable lineup.
Okay.
Would sitting Josh Allen in a super flex league for Taysom Hill in the quarterback slot, and then not starting a second quarterback and starting like Darnell Mooney, is that a reasonable lineup?
No. Sitting Josh Allen is not a reasonable lineup.
Cool. That goes out to a league that I'm in. I'm going to clip that later.
Yes.
I play in one that's not an RPG league, and the guy did that, and I was like, dude, that's not cool.
Like, I mean, depending on what your rules say, if it doesn't say anything about it, more power to you. Like, if I were to create the Trade Addicts leagues right now, I would just not have anti-tanking rules in it, because I don't, like, if you want to lose, you should be able to lose. If you want to donate your money, more power to you. Like, we find, like, again, different ways to make the better teams get their way in. So if one team gets gifted an extra win because they play that team twice, you know, Rocky still got in, even though he was the eighth seed, because he scored the points, and that's what really mattered. Like, and now the newer leagues I've created, I do two teams, one by points scored and one by all play record. Like, so it's less about the standings and more about other things as well. So like, I don't care that much about tanking. Like,
I get what you're saying about not caring that much, but if you can give someone a reason not to even think about it, why not do it, is my thinking. And also, the other reason I like it is I just think potential points gives the best kind of, I'm not trying to think of the word I'm looking for. It's the best
gauge of how good a team really is.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was looking for. It's good, of an overall roster. It's the best gauge. And that's kind of what the point of doing draft order the way we do it anyway, to try and help the worst teams get the better players. So those are the reasons I like it.
Look, fantasy football is supposed to be exactly like real football, right? Real football teams tank. It's fine. Like, they try to sometimes, and then Lovie Smith wins the last game of the season, yeah, and gets fired, and then they get the better quarterback anyway, but that's all besides the point. I'm actually, like you said before,
And you can tank in the sense of you can sell off all your good players. I'm not against that.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, again, like, I just don't care. Like, I have a league I run with John Bosch called Threave, and I guess the settings of the league doesn't matter. But, like, I haven't set a lineup in 2 years. But it's a bankroll league. I have the most money in the league. I have a whole lot of draft picks, and it's Devy. So I have Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison already. My team is going to crush this next season. Like, why? Like, again, I literally just donated two years worth of buy-ins. Why is that bad? Why does it matter? But again, like, that's not the argument we're here to have. If you are looking to stop, like, if you care about tanking, and I will say people doing shady crap to get around tanking rules is a person problem. You don't create more rules to stop that. You get rid of those people. If they're your friend or relative, I'm sorry, they suck. I've had to have serious conversations with my cousin because my cousin believes finding loopholes in rules makes him look smart instead of just look like an a-hole. I'm going to get worked up talking about it. So I literally just said, like, dude, I get it. You found a loophole. I'll let you have it this time. You pull this shit again, I'm just kicking you out. And he's like, fair enough. He literally just went like, fair enough. Cause he knew what he was doing. Like, that's why I don't like having people in the trade addicts leagues, that when I say, hey, this league's about fun, if your answer is, well, winning is fun, maybe this isn't for you. Like these, I get it. Winning is great. There's money on the line, so you want to win. But, like, that's not, like, we're not looking to have a cutthroat league here. That's not exactly the trade addict sort of way. And it's funny, you said before your guiding principle was, like, be a nice guy about it. The last line in our bylaws are, say, we run on a very strict don't be a dick policy. You know?
I love it.
And that's really what our leagues are all about. So, which is why, like, I trust that people aren't going to do crappy things. And I don't. Which is why, again, like, I don't care if people want to set mildly suboptimal lineups. Like, again, nothing silly like sitting Josh Allen, but starting someone who, you know, has a worse matchup, but they're the same tier wide receiver as the other one. And it doesn't even always go the way you want it to anyway. Like, I think I'm being clever and I end up winning by 50. Like, there's no right way. Like with anything in fantasy football, there's no right answer. There's what you like and how you like it, and that's what you do. The real answer is you just know your rules and you play to those rules. Like Rocky said, there's nothing you can do on a team when it's a potential points rankings except for trade players away. There's nothing clever you can do, so you just need to know that and play with that idea. If you play in my leagues, you can throw rookie and second year players. You can have a taxi squad of Breece Hall and Anthony Richardson and Drake London. And I'm not speaking from experience right now. So like that's absolutely what it's supposed to be. Like, it's whatever you want it to be. There is no right answer, but I think we gave you three different ones, which hopefully helped at all. I have no idea. And I also asked people, you know, how their season went, you know, how many playoffs did you make? How many 101s did you earn? And he says 11 out of 14 made the playoffs. Show off. One went 14-0. I secured that first round bye in the trade show watcher league, which he was first place. I was second place. I have one team that got the 101 overall. Great season. Good for you. He's patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can learn just as well as he did. And just crush it. Just crush it. At Buffer 9442, and we'll answer that question at the end of all of this for us. How do you decide when it's time to transition from rebuilding to contending? How long should a rebuild take if done correctly? What do you think, Mike?
So I'm going to answer the second question first, because I think that's a good way to go about it. It should take about 2 years, and you should have a long-term plan in place. Sometimes you need to blow it up for 1 year, 2 years, but like if you're looking 3 years into the future, maybe, you know, do better. if you're looking at 2 years, like you're able to make this plan, sell all your older players, get all the value that you can, truly tank for a year, accumulate all of the picks you can over this 3 year window. And now those, let's say that we do it moving forward, those 24 picks, you get to see which ones hit and which ones didn't. Try and get anything you can for the ones that didn't, if you don't believe in them, and, you know, maybe capitalize on the ones that did. Then when you look at that next year, now you have a treasure trove of picks and young players, and maybe you now turn all of that into those vets that people are getting rid of, because that's something that people like don't like to think about when rebuilding. Once you flip that switch, like those future firsts are now flexible, and you can go get, you know, an Alvin Kamara. You can, not specifically, but you can go get a Joe Mixon. You can go get those aging running backs to add to your staple of wide receivers, to add to your young stud quarterbacks. And now all of a sudden you have the perfect bones for a dynasty team.
I think Mike pretty much said it all. I agree. I think it should be 2 years max. If it's taking you longer than 2 years, you're screwing something up here. And I like what he said, like getting all the picks. I would even say if you can do it like a deal, like a work it so that you have like six first rounders. I'm even trying to trade some of those first for players and making the picks. That was the only thing I would add basically to what Mike said. And a lot of times you'll find, and this has definitely happened to me. Like if you do end up picking well, a lot of times you'll turn it around and you can turn it around within the next year, at least in terms of like, you might accidentally make the playoffs or something when you weren't expecting. Like, I've had that happen before. Yeah. I have a team. This actually isn't a rebuild per se. It was a productive struggle. In the Dynasty Hot Sauce Listener League, I bailed out in the first year, a lot of picks, young players, traded back, all that stuff. And I'm actually like, they have double headers and stuff. So I'm like 21-5, and I have a bye this year in the second year. And I wasn't expecting to contend this year at all. But I have like Trey McBride, I have Jahmyr Gibbs, I have a bunch of guys. I drafted Tua, I think, is one of my quarterbacks who's playing better this year. A whole bunch of stuff like that. And I even missed on some. I think I have Bryce Young in that league, which obviously didn't work out too well. But I'm still like one of the top teams. So, if you're lucky, you can probably do it within a year. But otherwise, it shouldn't take more than two.
See, I love this because this is two questions in a row. There's no right answer to this. A lot of it's very league dependent. If you have a very active league, true. Rocky had it out there. You can do a complete rebuild in a year. Like, start it now and you could be ready by next season. Like, if you have an active enough league, you can do whatever the heck you want. I had a 3 year rebuild once and it was on purpose. Like, I purposely slow built that team because I'd never done it before. And I went 1 year and it was 2018 with Saquon Barkley, right? I believe. And that was the year where I flipped the switch. And I went from, I earned the 101, got Saquon, and then won the championship 2 years in a row and quit the league because I got bored. They were a bunch of jerks. It wasn't worth it. But like that's really the rough question with something like this is, but Rocky also, well, both of them said it right. If you're hitting year three, you're doing something wrong. Like, it shouldn't take that long, but it's really a feel. It's very league specific where you put that core together. If it's a super flex league, you usually want at least one young, good quarterback, a couple of good wide receivers, and maybe a couple of shots at tight end. And then when you feel like you have that good core, you have a couple of Rashee Rices, but then you also have a Zay Flowers. You have, you get lucky on a Puka kind of thing. And then you realize, okay, well, I have a really good quarterback, 3-4 really good wide receivers, and a pretty okay tight end. And then you're hitting the 24 draft and you have five picks. Trade three of them away, draft two of them, and you will have a full team young and ready to go for next year already. So it's all very league specific. Like, how crazy good is the top of your league? You know, is it worth it just to build half a team then push? Because most leagues, you make the playoffs, you have a shot at winning it. Most leagues aren't that top heavy. So it could just be worth it after a year of just sort of pushing it around and then using the extra stuff you have to go in. Other times it makes sense to slow play it just to make sure you get a good draft in or two. Unfortunately, it looks like there's no running backs in 24, and it looks like 25 isn't going to be a very good draft class in general. So it might get a little harder the longer you wait at this point. So you might just want to push it faster right now. And then he says, made the playoffs in one league and earned the 101 in the other. Wish I was in more than two leagues. Well, hey, you killed it in the two leagues you're in. You did exactly what you wanted to do. So maybe you keep it at that. So you're 100% success rate right now. Nothing wrong with that. At Mountain Man MT, what do you do if your team missed the playoffs and your league is past the trade deadline? I did get the 101, though. Take a nap.
Start. Yeah, what else is there to do at that point?
I would actually.
I don't really know. Like,
I have one thing that I would recommend. It's go look up 2024 free agents and look up all of the players that are on waivers and try and say, like, is there a Jacoby Brissett that might go be a bridge somewhere? Is there a insert your favorite, you know, terrible wide receiver that you think if they went somewhere else, they would be medium? Like, go find those players instead of players that you know stink or about to retire. And just go throw them at the end of your bench. They're free.
Yeah, that's the smart answer. Churning the bottom of your roster is absolutely the right answer. And then take a nap.
I was going to say, I don't even – Mike here, I smart guy, I don't even think of waivers because, as we said, I don't do waivers. Yeah, no.
Like, that most of my teams do not have full rosters even, and that is such bad dynasty planning. Like, you should always have a full roster because there's no reason not to.
I have so many with not full rosters. Yeah.
Like, rebuilding teams. And, like, rebuilding teams, there's no reason to have empty roster spots. You take every young player available and throw them on your team. Like, there's no reason not to, but I just haven't done it. Before we get to the last question, Mike, how's your season going? How many leagues you in? Playoff, 101s, how's it going?
I wasn't ready for this question. So during the last thing, I was going through all of my leagues and tallying all of it up. I don't know if you saw me looking down. Olivia, if you're listening, I love you. I'm in 25 leagues. I made a conscious rebuild before the season for four of them. I'm in the playoffs in 15, and five of those I have a first round bye. I only have the 101 in one league, though. Or no, two. Sorry. Two leagues.
So we established earlier I'm in 38. I don't know how many are intentional rebuilds. I know there's definitely some teams I was trying to go for the playoffs and didn't make it. But I believe it's 23 of 38 are playoffs.
Heck yeah.
Which is not too bad, but I actually did – I think I did a little better last year. Nine byes and two 101s on those non-playoff teams.
Nice.
All right. One of which I have Bijan on already, and Garrett Wilson and a couple other guys. So I'm hoping that team's contending. That's one of those rebuilds we were talking about. I'm hoping is contending by that second year.
So I'm in 23 leagues. Four of them, I did not make the playoffs when I wanted to. And one of them, like Trade Addicts one, it wasn't going to happen. And I only missed out because someone else didn't win a game this past week. But like, it's still a league. I wanted to make the playoffs because I was spike contending. Stupid Tank Dell getting hurt. But otherwise, like I'm having a pretty good season, I think. Some of my teams are falling apart. Like Trade Addicts 2, I spent most of the season in first place, you know, outscoring everyone else by 200. And then like the past 4 or 5 weeks, I'm now like 8-6 and third highest scoring team. I'm the fifth seed. Like it's not going well for that.
Yeah, I have some like I have one where I start 8-1, lost Cousins and a couple other guys, and I'm like 10-6 now. I still somehow because we have divisions in that league, so I'm still in first and got the bye. But I was like dominating the first half of the year, and it's I'm like limping into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you guys heard before the show, I got the Anthony Richardson, Joe Burrow, J.K. Dobbins, Mark Andrews, just the all IR team. It's elite.
Yes. Good luck with that.
I will know. 2024 will be nasty.
Frank in the chat, is there a player you're trading for or adding on waivers now looking to next year? My name is Isaiah Spiller with Eckler out the door.
I loved Isaiah Spiller.
I did too. And then just Los Angeles happened.
I mean, I'll say get T. Higgins because either he's going to stay in Cincinnati, which is awesome, or he'll go be the wide receiver one on a team, which is awesome. but it's not like, I mean, he's cheaper than he should be and cheaper than he ever was at this point. So like maybe you do consider that like a bit of a cheap move. Like you might be able to get him for 2 seconds instead of a decent first off the
boat. I mean,
I won't be able to, but maybe you out there might.
Does Cousins count? Because that's a guy I'd be looking to get. I think, you know, he's going to be starting again next year. And even if it's not in Minnesota, I still think he's going to be very good. And what's he going to be, like 35? So he's not
– yeah,
he shouldn't be very expensive, hurting 35, about to be 35. So, but I think he's still going to be good for a few more years. So,
I'm going to throw a name out there. Yeah. Wandale Robinson.
Yes.
He's electric.
Yep.
Whether it's, you know, Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets – taking us to the promised land, or they draft Drake May, they draft Caleb Williams, they get high enough in the draft. Like, I think that there's a really real possibility that Wandale has that year three breakout that we look for.
Idiots won this week again, dropping to pick 8.
Oof. It's because Tommy DeVito's just too good.
Too good. Maybe they have the quarterback of the future. Just saying, like, we're in Brock Purdy territory now. Like, draft capital don't matter. Let's go. Like, maybe DeVito's just the guy.
And with that, Wandale's was number one. So, I mean, Wandale is basically Brandon Ayuk.
You heard it. You heard it. Last question we got at Dynasty Beach Boy. What do you do when you make an offer to person A and person A is like, let me do some research before trade? Meanwhile, person B comes in with a good offer and that deal with person B gets done for the same, for that same player. Is that dirty? I mean, no, it's dirty is the wrong word. It's bad business. Like, but you get a good offer, you take the offer. Like, that's not the worst thing in the world. Like, how often? Okay, so Rocky, I go and I ask you about a player, and we're going back and forth about it. But then someone sends you a smash. Like, would you actually just be like, "Hey, Russ, I got an offer." Like, even if you don't give me the actual offer, like, I got a really good offer. So you're going to have to do something like worthwhile. Like, honestly, like that's the closest thing to like respectable move that you can do. But how often does that happen? Like, it's usually just, sorry, man, got an offer. I got to take, and you take it. Like, so I don't think it's dirty. Like, just not saying anything is kind of bad business maybe, but like you got beat. Sorry.
I guess would it be kind of like, here's the other thing. If you go the other direction where they say, hey, I got an offer of this for this. Can you beat it? That also feels like a little like grungy, like you're like leveraging people against each other, which is fine, but it's, I feel like both are weird. So it's
so here's the thing. Like, let's say you're in the situation where someone goes into the group chat and they're like, I'm trading this person away. Send me your offer. Yeah. And you know, I'll pick one. And someone goes, all right, I got a really good offer that I'm going to take unless someone comes and beats it. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that whatsoever. And so, like, I don't think there's a difference doing that one-to-one either, which is pretty much what we just said.
Yeah.
I never care about people talking about my trades or offers. Like, I know a lot of people get touchy about it when it's brought into the group chat, which is why I will never do it because I know it bothers people. But to me, it's a game. Who cares? But like Mike said before, like, you know, I send Rocky Charbonnet for Kamara, and then he goes to Mike, hey, Russ offered me Charbonnet for Kamara. I know you wanted Kamara. Can you beat that? Like, some people will have a problem with that. I get it, because that is, hey, we were behind closed doors, and now you're going and sharing my secret kind of thing. Mm-hmm. To me, it doesn't matter. Again, but I still don't think it's dirty. It's iffy. It's... You know, I walked outside and it's raining and I had socks on, kind of dirty. Like, you feel gross about it, but like, you could take your socks off and you're fine. It's not a big deal.
Which I actually think, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I'm with Rob. I don't really have too much of a problem with the leveraging one deal against another. I agree with what Russ said too about this. So, in this specific situation, when you were actually talking with the person, I think you probably owe it to them to say, I got another, like, even if you don't want to do what you were saying and say, you know, I got X, Y, and Z for the guy I'm trying to send away. But like Russ said, if you can at least just tell him I got another offer, you're going to need to beat it. You're going to need to up what we were originally talking about or something like that. No. I think it's a little bit slimy to just take the trade and not even say anything.
A courtesy text after would be nice. Yeah. But you can also avoid all of this if when you're trying to sell a player, you just say, Travis Kelce is on the block, best offer by Thursday at 8, gets him. And then you just wait.
That's such a risky move.
You just cast a net. Yeah. Well, then, you know, if people
lowball you, then the best offer you get is 2 seconds or something.
And then you just say, guys, what are we doing here?
Yeah. And then he says, 8 playoffs, 0 101s. Again, this is the kind of vague where it makes you feel like he has 8 teams and they all made the playoffs. So good
for
you.
That's definitely what happened.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not, but it's definitely what happened. And he's excited because apparently he has Stroud, Dell, Nico, and Puka. Like, man, that's...
In all 8 leagues.
I'm not going to look, but yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
I mean, he listens to us, so he's probably that good.
Yeah.
But on that note, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Mike, for coming on. I had a blast. I am very in the holiday spirit with your indoors wearing a pom-pom beanie and Christmas sweater and drinking your... What were you drinking again? That sounded delicious.
It's a Shinerbach Holiday Cheer, official sponsor of this episode.
Yes, and it was peaches
and pecans. Just scrumptious.
Sounds. I have to go.
Stop by Publix.
Yeah, I don't have those in New Jersey. And why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do.
Yeah, so I'm Mike Ashuba. I'm an editor over at Last Word on Pro Football. I'm the co-host of the Fantasy Football RPG podcast. You can see us with all the dragons floating around. I actually forgot to say this earlier, but I'm the high point creator for the Titans. So that brand that Des Bryant's putting together, trying to be like videos and fantasy football coverage, I covered Derrick Henry and the boys. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Good time.
Yeah, super. What do we do? Our stuff. I already have said it before, but I'll say it again. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can hang out with us while we record. Ask us awesome questions, including Isaiah Spiller's name and stealing Rocky and Mike's answer. And also we have our awesome Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club, which I was pointed out today that it still says group me on Patreon because I have literally never updated that site. The last time I updated that site was to put your name on it and take Brian Harris off. So that's how long it's been. But yeah, just a whole lot of fun there. And also fantasycares.org is all it's about right now. We got most of our shopping done, but we're still going. And we also have our Fantasy Cares Advent calendar going on through the 25th of December. Every day we are going live and giving away a jersey, signed jersey, to a random winner. Fantasycares.org/GG. Donate $20 and you're in through the 25th. And again, every day we go live and give... Bob Gilchrist has a spending problem is what this really comes down to. So we have a bunch of signed jerseys and a bunch of Funko Pops. Like the same person in the past 2 days, I'm sitting here holding a Joe Montana and Cooper Kupp Funko Pop. The same dude won both of these. Mm-hmm. I called him selfish, but really he's lucky and awesome.
Yeah.
And shout out Jeff Trella. He entered his name, last name in all capital letters. So I feel the need to like emphasize it when I say
you
it.
You have to.
But on that note, it's earlier than normal, but that just means I get more time to sleep. So good night, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Good night, Russ.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.